The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, fellows, for that. Amen. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. The book of Genesis, chapter 13, in verse 12, the Bible says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt, of course, there in the cities of the plain, and pitched, watch this very carefully as we emphasized this just a few moments ago prior to the special, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, may I say that that was foolish all within itself, and that's where the trouble of Lot began. But that's where the trouble of Lot began out here. Where the trouble really began with Lot was in here. So, but why was it? Why was this individual that was raised in the household of his uncle, raised in a household where you saw blessing after blessing, raised in a household where you saw truth after truth, raised in a household, no doubt, where they saw the scriptures being not just read, but probably examined, raised in a household where they saw that right was just the natural reaction to anything that was going to take place in a particular household. Why is it that a man raised in such an environment would change so much? Why is it that a man raised in a fundamental, independent, premillennial, temperamental, hellfire, brimstone, soul winning, separated Baptist church would make decisions that would be uncanny, would make decisions that would be fleshly, would make decisions knowing the truth but choosing rather not to obey the truth? Why is it that some people leave good churches to go to churches that are not as straight, not as right, not as direct, not as scriptural, not as much practicing holiness? Why would you leave such a place and go to such another? Why is it that some people would take in one day practice reading their Bible and then stop? Why is it that some would take and go soul winning and then stop? Why is it that some would teach their children Bible standards of biblical separation so that their children would not be tempted to get the hooks of the world in them, to pull them down into a sandy sinking pit that would eventually be their demise? Why is it that they would part from such a lifestyle to go a different direction? Why is that? Well, I want us to do a Bible study tonight about this individual by the name of Lot. And we're going to find out tonight about Lot and why is it that he did certain things in his life that eventually would not only affect but infect his entire family. So I invite you to stay with me in your Bible tonight as we'll use our Bibles a little heavy tonight so that we can see the truth about this one by the name of Lot. I want to make it very practical. I don't want to get so deep that we leave here saying, oh boy, I tell you what, I didn't swim in any of that tonight, but I want us to look at it. So go to Genesis chapter 13, and we'll use our Bible and watch this in verse 10. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10. The Bible says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even it says, as the garden of the Lord. So can you imagine that this was a place that when people looked at it, it reminded them of that which would be in its plushness, in its fruitfulness, in its bountifulness. It reminded people of what the garden of the Lord was like at one time. The Bible says, like the land of Egypt. It says, as thou comest unto Zoar. And so here we see that here Lot is. And I'm going to draw us a picture tonight. And so I'm going to use some of the fellows. Kenny's one of our Bible college graduates and does a great job teaching as one of our teachers in the academy. And because he's so old and so mature, I'm going to hold him up here, and he'll be up here the length of the sermon. So we'll have him holding a sign tonight. And my sermon is, an hour and 15 minutes long. And so I hope you got muscles right there. No, I'm just just kidding. But now, Lot was dealing with carnality. Now, what is carnality? What does it mean to be carnal? What does it mean to be somebody that is saved, and then we give them the title, or we say that that's a carnal person, or we say that they're involved in carnality? What is that? That is a person, if you will, that is saved, but they don't act like it. Or they're saved, but yet they're still dwelling in a fleshly way. Now, we see that Lot lifted up his eyes. We see that he beheld the plain of Jordan. We see that he looked at the plain, and we see that he looked at the plain, and he saw by looking at the plain that it was well watered everywhere. And the Bible says that, of course, this was before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see that it was a very nice place in which to dwell. Now, can I tell you, you have to be careful what you look at, because your sight will change your thinking. The Bible says that even in our Lord's day, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked on the multitude, and then he himself was moved with compassion. So your eyes do affect you. The Bible says over in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 28, the Bible says, "And I say unto thee that whosoever looketh on a woman and lusteth after her committeth adultery," it says, "with her already in his heart." Now watch this. It says, "And I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman." All right? So first off, that teaches me a couple of things. You better be careful what you look at. Because what you look at, your sight may change your future. Now, it also tells me this. Ladies, you ought to dress in such a way that it doesn't draw a man to look at you in an uncomely fashion or in a way that would cause him to trip and to fall even slightly from obeying the Lord. Now, can I tell you tonight, we understand that Lot had a sight problem. He's looking out there, and he's not going to make a decision on what God is going to lead him to do, because God is nowhere in this man's sight at this time. I don't understand that. I don't understand how he could be raised in the finest home, Christian home of that day. I don't understand that. I don't understand how a man could have an uncle, Uncle Abe, if you will, that served God and practiced serving God and walked with God and obeyed God, but yet he makes such an uncouthy type, goofy, if I may, decision. And that is that he is led by that which is the sight. Why would he want to separate himself? I do realize, of course, the herdsmen of Lot, and I know my Bible and the herdsmen of Abraham, and I understood that, but it doesn't seem to be any wrestling whatsoever. It doesn't seem to be like he's going to his uncle Abraham and saying, "Hey, uncle, tell me, what would you have me to do?" He's not seeking godly advice. He's not going in and saying, "Hey, Uncle Abe, you've had the hand of blessing upon your life, and because you've had the hand of blessing upon your life, it's come upon your household. I, being a part of your household, is the reason that I myself am also blessed." No. He's looking selfishly to find out what will be best for him. And by the way, let me say this. When you start looking for what is best for you and not best for your family, you have already started down a wrong road. Here's what we see. We see that he was a selfish individual. And we ought not to be selfish. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2, the Bible says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Don't be so entangled with the affairs of this life that you wind up tripping and falling in your service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to decide tonight that Jesus is first. Amen. I said, we ought to decide tonight that Jesus is first. Let him be first in your mind. Let him be first in your home. Let him be first in your endeavors. Let him be first in your schedule. Let him be first in your service. Let him be first in the way that you walk, in the way that you talk, in the way that you breathe. Let him be first. All right? And so we see that Lot had a desire for carnality. Then we see this, that all of a sudden, come if you will, and Lot not only has a desire for carnality, but now he becomes careless. And by the way, if you're always looking for ways to be able to feed your flesh, whether it's watching a movie, whether it's listening to music, whether it's what you drink, whether it is what you do in life. But it's always about me. It's always about me. It's not seeking the Lord. It's not asking the Lord. It's not him first, but rather it's me first. All right, now wait a minute. If that is the way that we live, eventually we're going to become careless. And the reason that we become careless is because we don't care about what God wants. We only care about what we want. Genesis 13 and verse 11, I invite you to look at it. The Bible says, and Lot chose him. It says, all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. So here's what we see. Here's the city at night. All the city at night has bright lights. All the city at night. Tom Malone, many years ago, was raised on, Tom Malone, many years ago, would go over and visit his grandfather on his farm. Wasn't raised by him, but visited his grandfather on the farm. And Tom Malone went to his granddaddy one time, and being on the farm, and he looked over there and he saw the city lights. And he said to his granddaddy, he said, I'd like to go visit the city. And his granddaddy said, okay, Tom, you can go, but first we have to do our chores. And the story goes that granddaddy got him up early in the morning, and they went down and they gathered all the eggs from the chickens, milked all the cows early in the morning, did all the barnyard work early in the morning, finished up a little bit before breakfast, and he said, oh, granddaddy, we're finished our chores. Can I go now down to the city? And he said, oh, no, Tom, we've just started. After breakfast, we'll go work in the field. They went out and they worked in the field, and I forget what time it was as recorded, but sometime around noonish or one-ish or two-ish, they finished up the field work, and he said, hey, granddaddy, he said, can I go down there now? Can I go to the city? He said, oh, no, Tom, we got many more fields to work in. And so they went in and got their tractors, and they went out and they worked in the fields, and it came about 6 or 7 o'clock at night. The sun is beginning to rest, and he said to his granddaddy, he said, now, Dad, granddaddy, can I go in? He said, oh, no, Tom, it's supper time. They went in, they had a bountiful supper, and after the bountiful supper, he said, granddaddy, can I go now? He said, no, we've got evening barnyard work to do. And so they went in, and they worked in the barn until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And finally, granddaddy looked at Tom and said, now you can go. He said, oh, no, granddaddy, I don't want to go. I'm too tired. I want to go to bed. I think some of us tonight have a misconception about what it is in serving Jesus Christ. I think some of us, we come to church Sunday morning, we come to church Sunday night, we come to church on Wednesday night, and we think that we've done God a big favor. But do you not understand your Bible, how that God wants you to serve him? Do we not understand that you're not just supposed to come and sit, but you're supposed to come, learn, and get up and get? Do we not understand tonight that God has a plan for your life? And we're not talking about a plan for your life and you've got to go to a missionary field to serve God. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about a plan for your life and you have to be a preacher in order to serve God. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how God has a plan for your life as a businessman. God has a plan for your life as you work in an office. God has a plan for your life as you're somebody that works in a hospital. God has a plan for your life as you work in a factory. God has a plan for your life as you step out. Hey, don't miss God's plan, because all of a sudden you start looking at things that get your attention. God says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Don't become consumed with this life. Soon this life will be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. What are you doing for Christ? We come to church and the preacher preaches, and maybe he'll get red in the face and spit on the first three rows. But can I tell you, that has nothing to do with your service for God. God wants you to do something. It's not talking about mounting a pulpit. It's not talking about maybe going to a mission field. It's not talking about maybe driving a bus, yay, even on a Sunday morning. But there's something that you can do. And the problem was that Lot decided that he was going to separate himself from godliness, from holiness, from righteousness. And he became consumed with, this is what I want. This is what I deserve. This is the direction I'm going to go. And when you start living that way, dear beloved friend, what takes place is you become careless, because now you start making decisions that you want to make. Now you start looking at ways to feed you. Now you start looking at ways to up your profile. Now you start looking at ways so that you can become recognized in this present society in which we live. But God is not for you becoming recognized in the present society in which you live. God is for you becoming recognized in His sight and pleasing Him. And by the way, you can have both. I said you can have both if you desire to be able to put Him first in your life. So He went the way of the world. Does not our Bible say in the book of Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Does not the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, where the Bible says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, what's that mean? That means you ought not to go to the bar to drink milk. Abstain from all the appearance of evil. That means when that gal is walking down the aisle and she's a servant on that which is or an attendant, if you will, on an airplane ride, and you look to your right and you look to your left and you look before you and you look behind you and you say nobody will know, and you're on an international flight or you're on a domestic flight, and they say, "Do you like white or red?" And they're talking about the wine. And you say, "Well, I think I'll have red today." Shame on you. Look, keep your testimony. I had a guy sitting beside me. I had fun with it. You know, you can have fun as a Christian. And I had fun with it. I had a guy sitting beside me on an airplane. And I just witnessed to him. And he said, "Oh, yes, I'm a saved person." I said, "Oh, wonderful. And when did you get saved?" He gave me a testimony. He did. He gave me a testimony. "This is when I got saved." I said, "Oh, wonderful, wonderful." And then all of a sudden, this gal came walking down the aisle. You want white or red? White or red? And he said, "I'll take red, please." I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You just told me you were saved. What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I think there's nothing wrong with it." I said, "Well, there is." Oh, he said, "Well, then, never mind, ma'am, never mind, never mind." Everything he did on that airplane, he said, "Is this okay? Is this okay?" Now, look, can I tell you that you ought not to become careless? Don't be careless. You be careful. Don't be careless. One time, somebody threw a beer can in my yard. Yeah, it's probably a deacon. No, I'm kidding. I've got good deacons here. But somebody threw a beer can in my front yard. And I went out and I picked it up. No, I did not drink a sip of it. Nothing like that. I went out and I picked it up and I came in. I was going to throw it in the trash can. And then I thought, man, the trash man's going to see that. He's going to think that my wife drinks beer. That's not right. You know, can't blame it on the kids. They're already gone. And so what I did is I got me, Brother Crutcher, I was smart. I went in there and I got a bag and I put it in the bag and I put it in another bag. Then I put it in another bag and I tied it and I held it up, looked in the light. Couldn't see nothing in the light. I said, "That's it." And then I threw it in the trash can. Okay, now I'm saying, be careful. Oh, you say, "Preacher, that's ridiculous. You ought not to live that way." I don't want somebody to trip over me and stumble and fall into hell because I make careless decisions. Look, if you're going to be right all the way. If you're going to be in, get all the way in. Stop playing tiddlywinks with God. Hey, stop playing the little game of, "Well, you know, I'll just do what I want to do." You're not supposed to do what you want to do. You're supposed to do what God wants you to do. I'm saying tonight that a person that wrestles with carnality, many times more than not, they will be careless. The Bible says over in Psalm 1 in verse 6, the Bible said, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall be punished." All right, come help me if you will. And so what happens is a person embraces carnality. Stand right here. And then they embrace that which is carelessness. Well, if they're not careful, wrap around this way, Kenny. That way they can see you over here too. And if they're not careful, then that carnality breeds that which is a carelessness, and that carelessness breeds compromise. Okay, watch this. Okay, I'm showing you how Lot became who Lot did become. Come on. Here's what takes place. And then one day, not walking with God. One day, not reading the Bible. One day, oh, it doesn't matter if I come to church or not. I'll just do what I want to do. In other words, spirituality becomes second, third, fourth, or fifth place. It doesn't matter. That's how these boys can look on their cell phones and see a dirty picture. And then after a while, it becomes commonplace. And one day, they become careless and they get caught. Now, watch this. But if they don't get caught, then they start compromising. Well, you know, it's not all, that's called excusing away. Well, you know, it's not all that bad. Well, you know, God hadn't beat me over the head with a sledgehammer yet, and so it must not be all that bad. You know, I mean, after all, that little drink, it didn't matter that much. And what takes place is this, that carelessness leads to a life of compromise. How many times have I seen somebody out on soul winning, and I'll visit, and when I visit them, here's what they say. Well, yeah, I used to be. Well, yeah, that's what I used to do. And I said, why aren't you doing it right now? Well, you know. And what happens is they compromise so much that now their lifestyle totally changes. God is not first anymore. There's no excitability about church anymore. I mean, there's no thrill. Look, please, I beg you tonight, don't lose the thrill of church. Don't hey, you ought to be excited about coming to church just like you're excited about going to a ball game. I mean, church ought to be it, man. I mean, look, hey, by the way, your kids are watching you. Hey, don't fall asleep in church and your little kid, you look over and say, well, what's wrong with daddy, you know? Hey, listen, some of you men, if you'd say amen and you'd get excited about God, can I tell you, hey, all that's doing is letting the devil know whose side you are on. I'm saying tonight, Lot had carnality. Because Lot had carnality, it turned into a careless lifestyle. Look at Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13. The Bible says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. These were just not regular sinners. These were fellows that was in deep sin. Exceedingly wicked. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 verse 1. The Bible says in two angels. It says that these two angels came to Sodom at evening. The Bible says, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. The Bible says, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He knew righteousness once he saw it. I don't know how many people have gone on vacation, said, preacher, one thing I was so happy about as I came back from vacation, because I'm back at Parkside. We might not be the greatest church in all the world, but at least we're trying to please the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, I'm saying this tonight, that you can live a life of compromise so much that now you feel comfortable sitting in the gates of the leaders of the city who are known as exceeding sinful men. You can compromise so much that when the preacher gets up to preach on something, here's what you do. You'll get with your friend and you'll make light of the preaching of the Bible. You'll mock it. You'll sit there and say to your friend, because you know he's in sin, and you're in it too. And what you'll do is you'll nudge yourself, that friend, and you'll say, he got you. Well, first off, how do you know he got you? I'm saying this tonight, that you start living a life of compromise. Now, coming to church, oh, it's not important. Can I tell you, as long as God be God and the Savior be the Savior, the church is always going to be important.
Amen.
Stop soft-soaping it. You know, well, everything's okay. Everything's not all right if you're not right with God. The reason that your daddy's not right with God, and the reason that your mama's not right with God, and the reason your brother's not right with God, and the reason that your sister's not right with God maybe is because they don't see Christianity real in your life. I'm saying tonight that he embraced carnality, turned into carelessness, turned into that which is compromise. Then give me, you want to come help me? Is that okay? And Corbin, we'll pull you right in. All right? And after it turns into compromise, then he's challenged. See, Just because you compromise once doesn't mean that it's just going to give up and go away. Because you're going to face new problems every day. Watch in your Bible, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14, the Bible says, and Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-laws. Now listen to it now, and here's the challenge, that married his daughters and said, up! He said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And he seemed as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-laws. They said, huh, what tomfoolery is this? I mean, you know, they watched his life. They watched that, you know, in church he's one way and at home he's another. They watched his life. They see that, you know, it's no big deal. I mean, I come to church just for the show of it. They watched his life. They've watched that all of a sudden where he's looking, what gets the attention, where his eyes are drawn. They watched his life. And now all of a sudden you see that he becomes very carnal, if you will. Carnality sets in. And then he becomes careless in making his decisions. And before you know it, he's compromising. He's sitting in the gates of the city fathers that are exceeding wicked men. And now he's challenged by his own family because they say, yeah, you're not real. You're not real. We see you sitting out there with the city fathers. We see you sitting out there with a bunch of homosexual men and saying, well, it's okay. Right. Let me make a statement. It's not okay. Amen. It's just as wicked and just as perverse and just as wrong as it ever was. Amen. Doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what your neighbor says. It matters. Listen to me. It matters. Stay with me. It matters what God says. Now, I'm saying this tonight. He was challenged. Oh, wait, it doesn't stop there. Okay, come help me if you will. Thank you. And so we see that now his corruption begins to spread. Because you see, not even his sons-in-laws believed in him. Now, the Bible says here, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 36, the Bible says, lusts were both, it says, the daughters of Lot, it says, with child by their father. But can I tell you, it did not start there. Don't forget these men. Let me review your Bible with you. Don't forget these men of the city, both small and great, the Bible says. These men, both small and great, they came round about the house. Lot stepped out of the door and he shut the door behind him. As he shut the door behind him, he faced these wicked men of the city. These wicked men of the city said, we saw two men come into your household tonight. And he said, they said, you bring these men out that we may know them. That's the same know that you'll find in the book of Genesis as Adam did know Eve. And so they say, you bring these men out that we may know them. And Lot said, no, don't do that. And so he said, you can't have them. And then one of the most wicked things that he did in my heart as I look at it and as I read my Bible, he says, but you can have my daughters for they've not known men. Why in the world would you give up your daughters? Why would you give up your sons? Listen to me. Why do you let your child watch certain things on the television? Why are you giving up your sons? Why are you giving up your daughters? Why have you not cared? Why don't you step up and be the daddy that you're supposed to be? Why don't you step up and be the mama that you're supposed to be? Don't you love them anymore? Don't let them run the house. You're supposed to be daddy. You're supposed to be mama. That's what you're supposed to be. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. And so he was in a place of compromise. He compromised himself when he's sitting at the gate of the city fathers. He compromised himself as all of a sudden he invited these men into his house, but yet he would not be able to step out and get these men to go away because they didn't believe him. He compromised and he was challenged by his own sons-in-laws that did not even believe in him, and they mocked him. Can I tell you, when you don't live like you're supposed to live, please see the end result of this. It's not good. Oh, but preacher, it's okay. It's just a little bit. A little bit of poison to kill you. Oh, but you expect us to be holy and godly and righteous and be above reproach. I still think that God blesses clean living. I do. I think that God could use you if you let him use you. Oh, but you say, preacher, but I've sinned. We have a forgiving God. I hit on that this morning. God forgives. You go to him and say, Father, I've sinned. And he forgives you. He will. You ask forgiveness, he'll forgive you. Then get back up and do something for God. Walk away from the wickedness and walk away from the wrong and get with God. Hey, all right, listen to me. There's not a prayer that God cannot answer. There's not a person that God cannot bless. But you have to be the one that says, I want the blessings of God. I'm not going to work it out my way. I'm going to let God work it out. I'm going to prove that God can answer prayer. I'm going to prove that God can come through. Hey, let's decide we take God at his word. Amen. I'm saying tonight that carnality sets in. You can see the selfishness of Lot. I mean, as he looked out and he saw the river Jordan, and he saw, of course, all the plains, if you will, and he saw, of course, how it was well watered, and he looked at it and he said, that's what I want. That's what I want. Now, isn't it funny? If you read the story, you read about what Abraham said. Choose to your left and I'll go to the right. Choose your right and I'll go to the left. Because you see, Abraham knew this, that no matter where he went, God would bless him. Amen. Had nothing to do with the land. Amen. Had nothing to do with the land. Amen. I want to ask you something, dear beloved friend. Can you say that about your household? Can you say that no matter what or what direction I go, I know God's going to bless my household because of me being who I should be to my Heavenly Father? Can you say that? Or are you an individual that says, well, I tell you what, no matter what I do, it's not going to turn out right because my relationship with the Lord is not right. Okay, stay with me. So why is it that we preach like we preach? It's not really a way to make friends. They say this is not a way to build a church. That's what they say. This is not a way to find the favoritism of a bunch of fellas. Why is it? Might it be that we're more concerned about you because we love you than we're concerned about making a name? Might I get hate mail. I get hate mail. Why would anybody send such a loving, caring individual person like me hate mail? I get doctrinal studies there sent to me. People trying to straighten out my doctrine. Now, they're not who we are. But can I tell you, when you stand up for something, somebody's going to disagree with you. When you try to raise a godly kid inside of an ungodly society, somebody's going to make fun of you. When these dear public school kids and private school kids that go to these schools, you stand up for Jesus Christ and you live right and you live the way you're supposed to live, somebody is going to be disagreeable with you. Amen. It's going to happen. Amen. I said it is going to happen. Amen. But can I tell you, don't follow the trail of Lot. Lot was a person that had carnality. Because of that, he was careless in his decisions. Because of that, he lived and breathed like a compromiser. Because of that, even his own children challenged him. Even his own children said, I don't believe in you. Live one way or say you live one way or be one way this away and be another way. I don't believe in you. What's your children, by the way, dear friend? Think about you. I'm saying this. I'm saying then you see that there was corruption that took place. Long before he corrupted his own daughters, if you will, he himself, he was just going to give his daughters away to be corrupted by another. Now, I'm saying tonight, it's costly not to live for Jesus Christ. It is more costly to you and to your family than it is for you to live for the world. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that over in Galatians, I'm almost done. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, and be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sean, come help me if you will. So it's costly. But where does it start? Start all the way back there. Started in the heart. Why didn't he go to Uncle Abe and say, Uncle Abe, I tell you what, you've led me the right way. You've given me right instruction. You've shown me what to do all these days. And the reason that our herds have grown to the magnitude that they've grown is not because of me, Uncle Abe, it's because of you. So Uncle Abe, I ask you a question. What do you see that's best for me? Oh, I've seen this. I've seen a boy start liking a girl. I've seen it. Not a godly girl, but an ungodly girl. And before you know it, he begins to think the wrong things, being swayed by this ungodly girl. And before you know it, he begins to make careless decisions. And before you know it, he begins to compromise his godly stand. And before you know it, even his friends begin to challenge him and say, are you sure that's what you should be doing? And before you know it, he begins to corrupt not just himself, but corrupt others. And before you know it, he's going to pay the cost. Yeah. I'm saying this tonight, and I'm almost done. The Bible talks about that which is costly. Then it talks about that which will be chronicalized. Give me one more. Come on up and help me. And so everything that we do is chronicalized. In other words, it's recorded. It is. Oh, you say, but God don't pay attention. Oh, he's the great pay attentioner. Amen. Yes, it's recorded. Isn't it neat how Hezekiah could go back to the Lord? And to the Lord, Hezekiah would say, he would say, I'm dying, Lord. And he said, but I'm coming to you. And as he came to him, and he expressed to the Lord that he wanted to live, God gave him 15 extra years. Now, why was he able to do that? Because God looked back in his life and said, You'll find that in Hebrew. But it was chronicalized. I'm saying Lot had a desire for carnality. Lot's direction became careless. Lot's dedication became compromised. Lot's doctrine became challenged. Lot's daughters became corrupted. Lot's decision became costly. And then you see that his defilement was chronicalized. All right? Other words, it was written down, chronicalized. It was written down, chronicled. It was on paper. It was with pen. It was written down. I mean, people could see it. Now, I'm saying this, that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 in verse 37, the Bible says in the firstborn bear, it says, and the firstborn bear a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. Now, by the way, may I say this, that we understand that when a person does wrong, they will eventually within themselves bear witness of the wrong. It's costly. It's costly. Now, living for God is costly. But in the end, what is written down is better.
Yeah. Amen.
We moved here, I guess. I know we moved here. But we moved here a little over 7 years ago, and somebody broke into our church, and they went through, they ransacked everything. So peculiar, because we had a company that came in, true story, we had a company that came in, and they were supposed to put these cameras out in the hallways, you know, and for some reason they got the wrong wire. They didn't have enough wire or something, and so they said, we can't do it. We'll have to come back tomorrow and do it. Have to get wire. And then that night we were broken into. I was suspicious of that a little bit. But they broke in. They tore up our offices. Years ago, I decided that I was going to become a digital fella. Digital fella. I decided I was going to try and get rid of all my paper stuff, you know, and just try and go digital. I used to keep a journal. I started keeping a journal back in 1979. And I kept a journal about people that I led to Christ, people that I'd witnessed to, or and blessings that God would give, and different things that happened to me in Bible college, and different things about my background and stuff like that. I kept a journal, worked on it for years. And then I got really good because I started putting pictures in my journal. Oh, yeah, I learned how to do that. And then all of a sudden we got broken into. I had two hard drives that was full of my journals. I always kept them in the office here. Because that's, you know, at the end of the day, I would, on Fridays normally, what I'd do is I'd sit there and I would type stuff in my journal and then put it back in my drawer. Can I tell you, when they broke in, they stole those hard drives. Oh, I told my dear wife, I said, we need to find those hard drives. And I said, we need to find them. So we went down to one of these places that they sell stuff cheap and stuff, one of these pawn shop deals, and went in there, and the first thing the man said, he said, well, can I tell you something, preacher? If they stole them, they're gone, because they probably sold them for dope or something like that. That's why I preach hard against dope. And so, but said, they're gone. You'll never find them. Well, we visited a couple more of those pawn shop things and couldn't find it anywhere. But can I tell you, though my journal disappeared, and I will never remember some of that stuff that is there, God has kept it written down. He's kept written down, if you will, the first person I led to Christ, the first sermon I ever preached. He keeps it all written down. Now, can I tell you, for the believer, if we do not practice that which is carnality in our life, then we do not become careless. We do not begin to even entertain the thought of compromise. We don't get challenged in certain areas that do not come our way. We definitely do not get corrupted. And you'll find out that life is not as costly. And then you find out that you're able to leave things written down that your children, if you will read one day. Hello? Don't you love reading about older men of God and ladies of God that were missionaries and the price that they paid in serving Jesus? And you get to read about stuff like that. What a wonderful blessing that is, and what a wonderful encouragement. But can I tell you, somebody one day is going to read your life history. Somebody one day is going to read how you got a certain prayer answered, how you stepped out by faith somewhere, if it's written down somewhere. But God always keeps a good written account. Yeah. Now, let me say this tonight, that you and I are to start the day right. Don't be like Lot and desire carnality. Don't be like Lot and direct yourself towards carelessness in your direction. Don't be like Lot and become somebody that is dedicated, if you will, to that which is compromise. Don't be like Lot and have doctrine that is challenged because of your lifestyle. Don't be like Lot and have your children corrupted because of the decisions that you make. Don't be like Lot, if you will, and make the decision of costing your family their very integrity, and it destroy you completely. Don't be like Lot, that one day somebody looks at the end of his life and they say, I remember what he did. I remember what she did. I remember that. I'm saying that you and I tonight can start our day right. And every day we got that choice, don't we? You can walk in the office tomorrow and be a grump. Or you walk in the office tomorrow and just show God's goodness. You can come to church and just be somebody that everybody's scared of. They're afraid. When you walk down the hallway, they run to the bathroom. Or you can be somebody that tries to lead people the right way, tries to help them. You can just be Christian, can I say that? And just be what you're supposed to be, and somebody will remember. Thank you, be seated, take those with you. One day, you and I will lay in state. We will. I was a young man when Lester Roloff died. I heard he had that flying into that storm. Storm took him down. Him and those honeybees, or the honeybee quartet, went down in a crash. And I thought, boy, I tell you what, it's real, isn't it? It's real. I remember driving to a conference, and there was Dr. Tom Malone with his old blue glasses. Somebody asked Tom Malone, how come you got blue glasses? And he wouldn't answer them. He never would answer them. But as he got closer to his death, somebody asked him privately, why you got blue glasses? He said, well, because my wife wanted them. But he had those blue glasses, an old raspy voice. I remember us going to a conference one time, and we saw him riding down the highway. And these men were men of God to me. And I was just a young preacher, and I saw these men of God. And boy, that just meant the world to me, because I thought that they were holy, 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 you know, I did. We had the kids to make up signs real quick, and it said, we love you, and we're praying for you, and we put them up against the window, and I honked the horn, and we all waved at him, and he looked over through those glasses, which probably he could not see us through, and he waved back. Hello. I remember when my mom and daddy died. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm just being honest. But I remember when my mom and daddy died, I thought, man, I missed some opportunities to influence. My brother got saved late in life. I tried to lead my brother to Christ over and over again. I remember one time I gave him the gospel, and he spit in my face. And he said, I don't want nothing to do with your God. You understand that? And I said, well, let me give you a gospel tract, Dave. And he spit in my face again. And he said, you take your God and you get out of here. I remember that. I remember that just as sure as I'm standing here. I prayed for Dave to get saved for a long time. And his oldest boy, Sean, got saved and went in and, from my understandings, showed Dave, or at least had a part in Dave, receiving Christ as Savior. I know that my nieces listen every week to the podcast. And for their hearing and for yours, I say I'm so very proud of my brother. Because when he received Jesus Christ as Savior, God changed his life. And he got excited. And the things that his kids remember about him was not what he did all those years prior, but the way that he was living for God when he went home to be with the Lord. See, you can change your life. And you can make a difference the way people view you. But understand this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we ought to live every day like it's our last day. Live for Jesus. Live for Him just like it's your very last day of taking your last breath. Build your bank account in heaven so that one day you'll be able to draw from it for the glory of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.